So today we continue reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 67. Balaram slays Dvivida Gorilla. Text number 9. And so on and so forth. Don't make so much noise. Tatra pasyat yadu patim.
Is that right?
No?
Number 9 to 11.
Yeah. Oh, jump to 11.
So I've got 9 to 11.
Sorry. He put 11. Anyway, I read that and then we'll chant together this one. Tatrapasyat yadu patim brahman pushkara malinam sudashaniya savangam lalana yutamadyagam gayantam varunim pitva madha vivalalochanam vibrajamanam vapusha prabinnam ivavaranam. Translation. There he saw Sri Balaram, the lord of the Yadus, adorned with a garland of lotuses and appearing most attractive in every limb. He was singing amidst a crowd of young women, and since he had drunk Varuni liquor, his eyes rolled as if he were intoxicated. His body shone brilliantly as he behaved like an elephant in rut. Now, 11. Dushta Shaka Mrika Shakam. Dushta Shaka Mrika Shaktam. Shakam Aruda Kambayan Ruman. Aruda Kambayan Ruman. Chakre Kila Kila Shabdam. Chakre Kila Kila Shabdam. Atmanam Sampradashayan. Atmanam Sampradashayan. Dushta Shaka Mrika Shakam. Aruda Kampayan Druman. Chakre Kila Kila Shabdam. Atmanam Sampradashayan. Go.
this.
Dusta, mischievous. Are you Dusta? No, good. Shakamriga, the ape, the animal who lives on branches. Shakam, a branch. Haruda, having climbed. Kampayan, shaking. Druman, trees. Chakre, he made. Kila kila shabdam, the sound kila kila. How does that sound? Huh? He's going to Rindavan, so he's going to find out and tell us when he gets back. Atmanam, himself. Sampradashayan, showing. Translation. The mischievous ape climbed a tree branch and then revealed his presence by shaking the trees and making the sound kila kila. Whatever it means. Purport. The word Shakamriga indicates that the ape Dvivida, like ordinary apes, was naturally inclined to climb trees. Srila Prabhupada writes, this gorilla by the name Dvivida could climb up on the trees and jump from one branch to another. Sometimes he would jerk the branches, creating a particular type of sound, kila kila, so that Lord Balaram was greatly distracted from the pleasing atmosphere. Text 12. Tasya dasyam kape viksya tarunyo jati chapala hasya priya vijahasu baladeva pangra parigraha. When Lord Baladev's consorts saw the apes' impudence, they began to laugh. They were, after all, young girls who were fond of joking and prone to silliness. Next 13. Tahilayam asa kapir bruse pai samukadibi dashayan swagudam tasam ramasya cha nirikshita. Even as Lord Balaram looked on, Dvivida insulted the girls by making odd gestures with his eyebrows, coming right in front of them and showing them his anus. Purport. Srila Prabhupada writes, the gorilla was so rude that even in the presence of Balaram, he began to show the lower part of his body to the women, and sometimes he would come forward to show his teeth while moving his eyebrows. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti states, the Dvivida would come right up to the women and move about, urinate, and so on. Amma gyanati mrandasya gyananjana shalakya shakshyamalitam yena tasmai shri garave namaha. Namo om Vishnu padaya Krishna prasadale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitanamne. Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nibhisesa Sanyavadi Vasichade Shatarine. So it's mentioned in previous verses, Dvivida is actually was trained by King Sugriva, was actually an associate of Lord Ramchandra. In fact, as I mentioned in the previous purport, that when they sing the song for Ramchandra, glorifying Ramchandra, sometimes they mention the name Dvivida and Mainda. That was mentioned early on. So it's amazing how when one is such an elevated position, can fall to so low. So these are examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam warning us the danger of offenses. It doesn't matter how high one climb. In fact, they say the higher you climb, the harder you fall. So that's why the Vaishnava culture is that symptom of someone who is advanced is that he is humble. Humility is goes side by side with advancement. So there are the instances mentioned in the Shastra of how different personality commit the offenses and how they have to suffer those offenses in so many different ways. Srimad Bhagavatam, in fact, is full of such examples. Examples of even great personality, powerful personalities who commit offenses against the Vaishnavas, offenses against Krishna. In this case, Duryodhana committed, was very disrespectful towards Lakshman, that he lost all senses lost his good senses. That he goes so low to do all these impious activities. These are really low. So high and coming down so low to engage in such activities. Showing off the lower part, urinating in front of people. This you expect from people who are drunkards. Sometimes they do that. And what happens when we meet some people like that is, how can anyone do that? You know, it's considered very, very low class. So, it is not, shall I say, it can happen. If one is not careful on the path. Just like, I remember one of the things I learned when I was in school. I mentioned before, when in school, you know, I went to a Christian school. So in the morning, one of the first lessons is there's some stories from the Testament. The last time I mentioned the story about the spider, about this criminal, never done anything good in his life. So when he was sent to hell, I said, "You've not done anything good in your life?" He said, "Yeah, I've done one. I saved a spider once." And suddenly there was a spider thread coming down, and it started climbing up the thread. And the other residents of hell were also hanging onto the thread and trying to climb, and he was kicking them away. He said, "Nah, this thread is too thin. Get off. And suddenly the thread broke and it fell down. And the voice again came, "You were given a chance to do something good. You blew it." So anyway, another story was learning of pride comes before a fall. Right? So this story about this knight, very proud in a shining armor, riding on his horse. But he ignored the branch in front of him. He just went straight on and said, "I'm a powerful." He didn't want to bow down. And bam! He hit against the branch and he fall. Pride comes before a fall. And we experience that many times. When we become proud and we fall. When we start thinking, sometimes we do something wonderful. By the mercy of Krishna, we do something wonderful. And become proud. And then Krishna withdraw his Shakti from. Suddenly they flat. So that normally happens when offenses usually happen when one becomes too proud, becomes too full of himself. When one becomes proud, what happens? We start judging others. We start to criticize others. In this way, offenses begin. Usually offenses begins in the mind. Because when one is proud, it's very difficult for such a person to bow down or to submit himself or to offer respect to others. That's why in the Shishasakam, the instruction is not Trina Apisuni China Taro Apisuna Amanina Manadina Kitaniya Sudhari. It's not only that one should learn to become humbler than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, but the second part is starting to always offer respect to others and not expecting respects in return. That's the second part. Usually we mention the first part, but the second part is also just as important, to offer respect to others and not expecting respect in return. So to be able to offer respect to others, one has to have humility. Because if one is too proud, it's very difficult to offer respect to others, because you're always thinking that I'm so great, he should be offering respect to me, why should I offer respect to him? In fact, in the teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, said anyone who is chanting Hare Krishna, you should offer him respect. In fact, Raghunath Das Goswami, he offered respect to all the inhabitants, all living entities. So, respect is part of the culture that one cultivate in the early stage. That's what we train children in the beginning. To teach them proper respect. The first thing they learn is to teach them to respect the parents, to respect the elders. The culture is there, even in the Indian culture, when they meet elders, often they either they do pranam or they touch the feet, isn't it? There's culture to learn proper respect, but in Western culture, that has not been taught. One grow up in Western school, always challenging. Why do you think you're better than me? Who do you think you are? I'm better than you. So from there, so many pitfalls are there. From this initial disrespect, one start making judgment, making offenses, criticism, then one lose all intelligence. You lose all sense of what is right and what is wrong. So much so that one starts doing all kind of crazy things. One becomes completely covered by the most material nature. Starts saying and doing all crazy things. That was one of the wonderful things that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Jagannath Puri, and when he saw Lord Jagannath, he just fell into a swoon. He just went unconscious. And Sar Bhauma Bhattacharya came, was testing him. Yes, there was still some breathing. So he had a discussion with Gopinath Acharya. Gopinath Acharya was his brother-in-law, I remember. Right? And Gopinath Acharya was Vaishnava. And Sar Bhauma Bhattacharya at the time was Mayavadi. He was a very, very prominent scholar. In fact, he trained up other sannyasis. So there had this discussion. And of course, Sar Bhauma Bhattacharya was presenting his Mayavadi understanding. And at the end of his, Gopinath Acharya was saying that it is not amazing, all the things that you said, because for someone who is under the influence of the most of material nature, he's capable of saying anything. He's capable of saying anything, he's capable of doing anything. Therefore, when one sees someone doing someone is a model of material nature, you have to expect anything can come out of that person's mouth. And anything, capable of doing anything. That's why you see in this world, every now and then you read in the news how people are doing such kind of crazy, crazy stuff. Recently there was this case of this father. He was divorced from his wife, but he was feeling so angry and upset because the mother has the custody of the three children. So on Father's Day, he took his three children in a car and drove them into a dam and drowned them. And he didn't call the ambulance or anything, just drowned the three small kids. So I was thinking, if I cannot have them, my wife's not going to have them. Huh? It's just such madness. But one is in the grip of Maya, he just loses all sense of what is right and wrong. So in the same way, he won't commit offenses. He loses all his shakti. He loses all his power. And he loses all good intelligence. And we see again and again, this is happening. And he get punished. Especially when he committed offenses against the Vaishnavas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called the what is it called? Mattahati, right? Mad elephant offense. Here we are cultivating the Bhakti Lata, the plant, the tender plant of devotional service. In the early stages, it's still very, very tender. And that's why all these rules and regulations, like the stick, helping it to grow straight up. So one is a Paramahamsa, it may not, is beyond rules and regulations. But in the beginning stage, we need that stick, those rules and regulations, to help us grow straight. Otherwise, it becomes like creepers, just spreading out all over the place. So here we are cultivating the creeper of devotion, and we let a mad elephant into the garden of that plant. It becomes stem. Elephants are pretty heavy creatures. One stem on it, the ground becomes very hard, and the plant just is smashed to the ground. Nothing left. It takes quite a long time for it to recover, if at all. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see how this Brahmana, during the time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have his Sankirtan. In the daytime, they have Sankirtan out on the street, but evening time, it's only meant for his close associates, his intimate associates in the house of Srivastaku. No one else is allowed to come in. In fact, one time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing his kirtan, and he stopped the kirtan and said, "I'm not feeling ecstasy. Someone is here who is not supposed to be here." So he looked around and found Srivastaku's mother-in-law hiding in the kitchen. And Srivastaku chastised her, "What are you doing here? Get out, get out. You're spoiling the ecstasy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." So one time there was this Brahmana. He wanted to attend, but he was not allowed in. Even though he was a Brahmana, but he was not a pure Vaishnava. So he was not allowed. And he was very upset. So he made a plot with his friends to discredit Srivastaku. So what they did, they put all these different paraphernalia for the worship of Mother Kali in front of the house. And in the morning when Srivastaku opened the door, he saw all these paraphernalia there. Immediately he could understand what was happening. So he called out to all the neighbors, said, "Please come, please come. You see, I'm actually a pretender. I'm pretending to be a Vaishnava, but actually, behind doors, I'm worshipping Mother Kali. Just see all the paraphernalia of the worship of Goddess Kali there." Of course, the inhabitants did not believe that. Said, "No, no, no, you're not. Who has done this heinous activity? Who has made this prank? Clean it up immediately." And within 3 days, this Brahmana, Gopala Chapala, his name, developed leprosy. He started killing all this stuff on this. And his friends avoided him, and he has to leave the village. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on his way to Jagannath Puri. He was crying, "Oh, please, oh, I'm suffering. Actually, we are related. I'm suffering here. Please free me from this suffering." But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he's Patita Pavan, the deliverer of the most fallen, said, "For what you have done, you committed this offense against Srivast Thakur, you will have to suffer in this condition for hundreds of lifetimes or whatever. For a long, long time." So a long time was suffering that condition. And then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was coming back, this time, due to intense suffering, he has sufficient time to think about his situation and what he has done. So this time he was more repentant. He grabbed hold of the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Please, please, forgive me. I've done this most horrible activity. Please forgive me." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart became softened and said, "You have committed of offense against Srivast Thakur. Now you go to Srivast Thakur. You beg offense from him." So when he came to the house of Srivast Thakur, he fell at the feet of Srivast Thakur. And Srivast Thakur picked him up and said, no, please, what are you doing?" He said, "I've committed so much offenses against you." He said, no, you didn't commit offense. "Don't worry, just Srivast Thakur, embrace him. Let's chant. And immediately, the leprosy disappeared. It disappeared. So that's the only way one can become free from the offenses against the Vaishnava. That's why every morning we chant Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. We offer our respect to all the Vaishnavas. And the thing is that sometimes in Mayapur, you miss Mangarati. But at least in Mangarati, everyone is there, you offer obeisances. Otherwise, every time you see the sannyasi, you'll be practically offering obeisances all day. This is also good. So this is our culture. Our culture is to learn humility, to learn respect, to all be able to learn respect to others. Materialist culture means always, "I'm so great, I'm so wonderful, I'm fantastic, I'm the best, I'm this, I'm that," so many things. Always this competitive spirit. Although the Vaishnava may be competitive, but the competition is mainly in terms of to increase the pleasure of Krishna, not to show off how great I am. It's all. And Prabhupada enjoyed this competition when the devotees on book distribution marathon is coming up soon, the December marathon. Usually in Europe, we already start the marathon in the end of September or beginning of October. Some exercises around this time. We have Vyasa Puja in November, so we do a 2 or 3 weeks marathon, and after that marathon we assess the situation, we assess everyone's performance, and then we do a trial run on the last week of November, and then in the beginning of December the storehouse of love of God just broke open. And for 4 weeks everyone just man. So it was a whole progression to the whole thing. In fact, this year I'll be in the Devanita Maharaj Vyasa Puja. I'll be reading some writings from him. He wrote a newsletter once for the whole Scandinavia, just preparing the devotees for the marathon, and that was written in somewhere in October, preparing everyone for the December marathon. Very interesting writing he wrote there. Later I found out that actually he was the first one ever to call me CJ. So he's one of mine. So what was I saying about that? How did I get into the marathon? How did I go into talking about the marathon? Oh, competition. Prabhupada Yam. He liked this competitive spirit. And he encourages that. But the whole idea is to increase our service and increase the pleasure of Krishna. So competition is also there in the spiritual world. It's good. But it should not be something egoistic. It's not just because of I want to be there and I'm going to be glorified and this and that and so many things. You know? So just like in a marathon when they compete and if they win the competition or whatever, they get a big maha plate of maha prasadam, and they distribute it to all the devotees. That's nice. So this is a culture that we want to learn and cultivate. Respect, humility. Develop humility. Genuine humility. And humility means service. You have to learn how to serve. We have to learn how to serve the Vaishnava. We have to learn how to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a humble servant. Not that I'm so great, but always a humble servant. And humble servant means whatever is required of me, I'll do. It doesn't matter small service, medium-sized service, big service, small responsibility, big responsibility. It's service. Just like the spiritual master. He may be a guru, but he's just a service. He's accepting disciple as a service. Under the instruction of his spiritual master, he's accepting disciple. And to train up the disciple as an offering to Krishna. So it's all done with a service attitude. He cannot have devotional service without service. That's why we call devotional service. Krishna consciousness means service. It's not armchair philosophy where we just sit down and just talk and discuss philosophy all day. Sometimes we hear devotees, Prabhu, I have to chant, I have to read. Then I ask them, there is time for chanting, there is time for reading. What were you doing during those times you're supposed to be chanting? Now it's time for service. You do service. Now the time for service is I've got to chant. And what does it mean to chant? Please give me more service. And when the service comes, you say, no, I've got to chant. I've got to ask for more service. It doesn't make sense. So it is time for everything. Time for chanting, time for our sadhana, to chant, to hear. Hearing chanting is very, very important. One of the most important part of our sadhana. But then we have to serve. We have to do service. And by developing this mood of service, one can also avoid becoming tough time. And especially if we are serving the Vaishnava, it cannot be puffed up. I remember one time, very long time ago, I was asking one devotee, my senior. I said, if I have a problem with a devotee, I have some negative feeling towards that person, what should I do? How can I get rid so I do not commit offenses? It's starting in the mind. From the mind, you come into action if you don't keep a check on it. And he told me, he said, serve the Vaishnava. Serve that devotee. He said, just like we are envious of Krishna, so how do we get rid of this enviousness? By serving Krishna. So if you have some enviousness to a devotee, we serve that devotee. Find some means and ways and excuses, do some service. And then gradually that enviousness will also disappear. By the mercy of the Vaishnava. So in this way, there are ways we have to be very, very vigilant in not committing any offenses in our devotional service. Because on one hand, we are trying to cultivate the kripa of devotion to help it grow. And on the other hand, we should not be just damaging it. Once you build a fire, you don't pour water into the fire as you're building the fire. You want to add ghee, not water. So, the ample examples are there. How do you eat that? Although so elevated position, still drop so low because of being disrespectful and because of being committing offenses. They come to the point. And the interesting point of as I was reading this is, he was disrespectful to Lakshman, and he was in the end killed by Balaram. Was none other than Lakshman. Lakshman and Balaram. He was killed by him. But what happened to Devita, I didn't find out, because I was reading until the end of the chapter. There was no mention what happened to him. Of course, the destination is always suspicious, being killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And after all, he's not an ordinary person. He's related to also Jayan Vijayan, because they came down here to what they did to the Kumaras, being cursed by the Kumaras, they have to come down to the natural world. But at the same time, they were here to facilitate the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So all these transcendental arrangements were going on simultaneously to give pleasure to Krishna, but at the same time to also teach us lessons. That's the nice thing about Srimad Bhagavatam. He's describing so many different pastimes of Krishna, glorifying the different pastimes of Krishna, the activities of his devotees, but at the same time so many lessons to be learned. One more I say about this. Someone has some comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhu, you were describing before how it was taught in some religions that pride is called.
Yeah.
And the word pride is a word you can hear in Australia quite a bit. Proudly made in Australia, certain products, sports, etc. I've heard the devotees say that this is all a modern conception of pride. But I guess my question is it possible to be simultaneously striving to be Krishna conscious and have some affection or some pride for where you were born? Is that possible?
One time, the secretary of Prabhupada was talking about Calcutta, how the colonial buildings and all this nice building. And then the secretary started glorifying New York, how wonderful New York was. And Prabhupada looked at him in a disgusted way and said, any hole you crawl out from is a place of is worshipable. Any hole that you crawl out from is worshipable. Yeah. So in the Shastra it's stated also that one consider a place of birth as worshipable. Now it's not glorified in that way. So proud, we can be proud, just not overly proud. We can have some pride. Not that we just completely give our pride. We can be proud, yes. I'm proud to be a servant of Krishna. I'm proud that I have such a wonderful spiritual master. I'm proud that I have such wonderful friends, devotee friends. I'm proud of the fact that I have such wonderful friends. It's not that I'm great. I'm just proud of the fact that I have wonderful friends. I'm proud that I have this opportunity to serve Krishna. So we can have a bit of pride in relationship to Krishna. But not only proud that independent. I'm so great, independent of Krishna. No. Does that answer the question?
Very nice.
Anyone else?
Also, there's the instruction that one should give up one's attachment from one's own place of birth and become attached to Krishna's place of birth. One transfers that attachment to Krishna's place of birth.
If one is proud of place, his place of birth and attached to it, he'll take birth again there, in the same place. I think Prabhupada gave the example of, he told a story about this man. He was so very attached to his family and he built a big house. He worked very hard and built this big house for his family. And then he died. And he came back next life as a cobbler. And he came knocking on the door to try to offer some service and was kicked out of the house by his son. So there's irony of the law of karma. We are so fortunate. I think one of the main problems that we face in devotional service is that we do not realize how fortunate we are. We do not fully appreciate how fortunate we are that to have the association of people who are actually sane compared to being insane. We are so fortunate that we have the opportunity to chant the name of Krishna. And chant and dance every day. Who do that? Who sing and dance every day? Not many people sing and dance every day. So such wonderful activities we have, such wonderful environment, such wonderful association. And what happens is like the saying goes, familiarity breeds contempt. So if you're not careful, with familiarity breeds contempt. We take things for granted. That's our problem. We tend to take things for granted. After having it for a while, we forget how it was out there. We forget the first reason why we took up Krishna consciousness. Why did we take up Krishna consciousness in the first place? Because it's something better than what we had before. At least. At least that, isn't it? It's better than what we had. Why do you take up something unless it's better? It's so much better. But we forget. That's why it's in the Bhagavad Gita, the four reasons, four class of men who come to Krishna. One who is suffering, the other one desire of wealth, inquisitive, and those are actually searching for knowledge. They all considered pious, all four of them. But the last one, those who are actually searching for knowledge, is the best. Because whatever reasons we come to Krishna consciousness, we have to come to the point that we really want to know. We have to develop that knowledge, what Krishna consciousness is all about. Knowledge is important. So when we really fully understand what Krishna consciousness is, that is the reason to make us stay. I was just mentioning to Yogesh Govinda Prabhu yesterday when he was just dropping me home, how that we have to internalize Krishna consciousness, whereby we feel that this is my life. No matter what happened, this is my life. Doesn't matter, sometimes we be going good times, bad times, this is my life. This is what I am. This is what I am. I'm a devotee. I'm a Hare Krishna. I'm a devotee of Krishna. This is what I do. Sometimes it may be easy, sometimes it may be difficult. But this is what I do. Just like you are in a job. Sometimes easy, sometimes tough. You don't just walk away every time it's tough. Think, this is what I do, isn't it? You are a parent. You have a child. This is what you are. When a child gives trouble, you don't just walk away. You can't walk away. Huh? I always remember one time when I hear about women giving birth. When they're giving birth, especially the first child, the labor is so painful, they cannot just say, no, I don't want. I'm going to stop now. There's no stopping. There's no question of stopping. So once you started the process, there's no question of stopping. You just have to go through it. Just bear it. Tolerate it. The joy is at the end of the tunnel. Sometimes there will be pain. But isn't it for the mother? After they go through the pain, the child comes out, all the pain forgotten. And when they're holding the bundle of joy in their hand, they say, it's all worth it. So, through ups and downs, we should make that marriage wow that we make to Krishna. Through thick and thin, we are together. No matter what, there's no separation. That's the point we have to come to in our Krishna conscious, at least. That's the point where you develop steadiness in your devotional life. As long as you are questioning, should I or not? Oh, it's easy now, okay now. This is what the Gauravita Maharaj called the sunshine devotee. We don't want to be sunshine devotee. We wake up one day, check out, how's the temperature? Check out the email, internet, what's the temperature today? Temperature is nice, the weather is nice. Prabhu, I'm really enthusiastic today, I'm ready to fly. Crossway, here I come. They're just making some propaganda. And the other day, checking, Prabhu, I'm in the mood. Just leave me alone. I'll come over it, don't worry. Just leave me alone. Let me sink deeper into ignorance. For ignorance is bliss. No. At least we have developed that duty consciousness. We may not have that feeling the ecstasy. We may not be feeling the most enthusiastic. But at least we carry our duty. Our duty of chanting around, our duty of performing sadhana, our duty of... isn't it the parents? When they have to feed the child, what they have to go through, what the parents sometimes have to do just to put some food on the table, put shelter over the head, put clothing on the body. They tolerate, they work so hard. Some people, they work so hard and tolerate. Duty, responsibility. So we should feel that duty and responsibility in our Krishna consciousness. No matter what, no matter how hard, no matter what happens, I'm going to just take it out, I'm just going to do. Because it is going to just get better and better. And always take shelter of the devotee. It can never be overemphasized. Always take shelter of the devotees. Never leave the association of devotees. And always take shelter of devotees. You take shelter of devotees in different ways. By offering service in the form of service, doing things. And also service with the ears to hear. And also to speak. You always hear how with senior devotees we hear. Open our ears and hear and learn. Try to remember and contemplate on those instructions. How we can apply in our life to improve our own Krishna consciousness. To the younger devotees, we offer service by giving some guidance, by giving instructions, giving some encouragement. That's also service. So whatever you do, you should done in the mood of service to the devotee. In this way we avoid the traps of offenses. Yes, ma'am.
You mentioned that once you have humility toward human beings and other human beings. But on the other hand, we as a human being always a tendency to discriminate different people. And again, within devotees, so is this discrimination considered to be an offense or how?
Well, it depends how you discriminate. You discriminate by judging someone, or do you discriminate in terms of how to associate? We have to have some discrimination. That's the function of the intelligence.
What's the difference?
You discriminate in terms, you do not make judgment on the order. This is better or worse. Like, you know, you make a judgment. But you discriminate, okay, I want to seek the shelter of senior devotees. And having said all devotees are wonderful, they are wonderful. But having said that, there are also different kinds of devotees. Not everyone who put on the tilak and dhoti we want to have very close association with. No? There are different levels of devotees. So we have to discriminate and seek out the association of devotees who can help us in our Krishna consciousness. And devotees who are about the same level as us to make friends. And to also give show mercy to those who are less advanced. It's not that like Sunday feast, we go up there, we don't make any discrimination. Everyone who walk in the door is a great Vaishnava. The new guests walk in the door, you sit there, Prabhu, please instruct me. You know? So you have to make a little discrimination. Here's a new person, let me introduce him to Krishna consciousness. And here's a senior devotee, let me shut my trap. Just zip. Remember I often say, every time I open my mouth, I lose the opportunity to learn something. Yeah, 2 years, only one mouth, remember? It's more important to hear. That's why you're given 2 years. So some discrimination is there, but we don't make judgment. Someone asked this question before. We had this discussion before about discrimination and judgment. Any other points bring up? Actually, you just learn these few things we mentioned today. You figure a long way in Krishna consciousness. If I look back in my devotional life, I'm embarrassed to say, but sadhana has never been my strong point from the beginning until now. But when I contemplate, not that I'm encouraging you like that, okay, I'm stressing the importance of sadhana, I'm just taking myself. But when I'm looking at myself, how after so many years I still manage to hang on, is the mercy of the Vaishnavas. That's what's keeping me afloat in my spiritual life. That's the mercy of the Vaishnava. And the well wishes of the senior devotees. So important. But if we make offense, oh, bus. Finished. Sayonara. So, very important. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.